think the dogs are getting picked up literally right this second. Arf, arf, arfity, arf.
Perfect. That's all that counts.
Hello, everyone. It is Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart Daily Edition. It's Happy Hour Friday, Economics on Tap. Really only the one topic. Thanks for joining us on the YouTube today.
I think we should own it. It's a somber occasion when the President of the United States catches a deadly disease and is being airlifted to the hospital from the White House. We should just come right out and say that. And we should also say this.
Yes.
Obviously, we wish him and Mrs. Trump and Hope Hicks and Senator Lee and everybody else, everybody, all, you know, million people in this country now who have been infected or however many it is, we wish them well and we hope they recover. But this is a huge, huge story. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we definitely are. I will be doing that alongside this can of backpack wine.
Really?
Cheeky rosé. Yep. This is how much time I had to get things together today. I don't know. I bought it at the store the other day. Seemed kind of great.
I'm doing Elysian Space Dust IPA in the new marketplace. Thanks for giving us money, tchotchke, the Kaipa glass, which I kind of dig.
Nice. I feel kind of bad. Mine's in the dishwasher after this morning's festivities. In case you are watching us now live on YouTube, and many of you are, and they are commenting on our hats. We're now contractually obligated to wear the hats all day long because of, well, also, okay, I admit I peer pressured Kai into wearing the hat to the Make Me Smart taping, but
that's
did
fine.
It.
I got it on backwards. Thing, so. Molly's got it on forward. Yeah. She's doing the brand thing. I'm doing the rebel thing. I don't know, whatever.
I'm just beyond.
Yeah.
I got the pumpkin spice this and the pumpkin spice. I might as well have like a live, laugh, love sign back there. It's just
that's good.
Pretty basic up in here today. Yeah. So we had other news stories earlier.
Yeah.
And now we really don't.
But there's really one.
We're just keeping an eye on all of the aspects of this.
So I've got two parts of this I want to touch base on.
Yeah, go for it.
If I could. One of which is up your alley and one of which is arguably a little bit more up my alley. I would like to talk about – so it was, what, like 9:30, 10 o'clock last night, L.A. time when this thing broke. And I'm in bed, doom-scrolling on my Twitter, and bam, here it comes. And then right after that, really, was a whole bunch of how do we know they're not lying? How do we know this isn't a campaign ploy? How do we know he's really sick? Nobody's telling us anything. How do we believe this? Why do we believe this? And there's some merit to that, right? Because this White House has lied repeatedly. The president has lied repeatedly. But it was interesting and dismaying – that kind of doubt crept into this conversation so early, and I wonder what you think of that.
You know, immediately, which is what is so fascinating, and a friend of mine, Mark Scott, who is now, I believe, at Politico, I think he's still there, chief technology correspondent at Politico, had a pretty great thread about how in the immediate moments, like what he said was no matter what social media giants do, no matter how many fact checkers there are, it'll never be enough. This news broke, and then like, immediately on both sides, it was conspiracy cries everywhere, right? QAnon on the right went bananas. They immediately were like, this is actually, I think they also thought that it was fake, but that they said it was a rallying cry for QAnon theories because they thought he's pretending to have COVID and he's going to go into the bunker basically because the roundup, the great storm is about to begin. They were like, this is it. They're coming for Hillary Clinton and everybody else, and the great storm is beginning, and that's why he's pretending that he has this virus that we all know is not real. Then there were, you know, if that was like far right, the closer right was more mainstream Republicans, he said, were either blaming China for the Trump's positive test, as we saw from Kelly Loeffler in Georgia today, or the Democrats for planting the virus during the debate, or claiming that Beijing had interfered in the U.S. election. The Proud Boys said it was punishment because Trump finally condemned the group. And then, of course, on the left, there were people saying that this was likely a positive, you know, he was using this test to get out of the next debates or just completely making it up. And then saying that he would play down the importance of COVID, suggesting that he would bounce back quickly and then use it to convince voters that the pandemic is not a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of this happened in like five solid minutes.
So fast. Yeah, totally.
So fast. Totally. In fact, somebody, the Post did a story about it and quoted this guy who works at the Foreign Policy Research Institute. He said, it is as if a nuclear information bomb exploded on social media. And it worked. I mean, the part of the reason we're talking about this is because in our Slack, like behind the scenes, in our Make Me Smart Slack, every producer on the team was like, oh, yeah, I know someone who I mean, I do. All of my otherwise sane friends are like, but do you think it's real, though? Do you think he really has it? I think he's faking it.
Yeah. And honestly, he has. He and his staff and the White House and this administration have only themselves to blame.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
You know.
I mean, absolutely, here's the other thing. When you devalue truth as a concept, no one believes you, let alone pretending that the virus itself is not real. And then I think we're up to 9 or 10 confirmed infections just from the within the White House and from the
a couple of White House staffers,
Supreme Court nomination event.
Yep.
And they're not even testing
staff. Nobody believes
you.
I know.
Sorry.
Although, you know, it's fine. Two things. One, they're not testing staff yet. Two, great pictures of the White House staff trying to figure out how to put on masks, like Larry Kudlow, the head of the National Economic Council, like having one over his eyes as he's trying to figure out the ear thing, because they're just not experienced with this, because even though every office environment in the world has been wearing masks, not at the White House. And apparently still not mandatory, by the way. So I just – it. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Sorry. Nobody believes him at a time when credibility is maximally important. The President of the United States is out of the public eye at a time of great instability in this economy, and we want credibility and trustworthiness, and we don't have it because of what they have done. And that, to me, is deeply troubling. Okay, so that was your bit of this. My bit of this is this. While I understand that all of this makes for unbelievable cable television news, and everybody's going, oh, my God, I need everybody to unclench for a minute, because they're like, Vice President Pence has been told to be on standby and the 25th Amendment this and that. And maybe we'll get there, but we're not there now. There's the President of the United States travels with people who can take care of him and people who can communicate for him and suites of electronic gear and all of this stuff. And he's got as far as we know right now, right? And I know I'm believing them when I just said I shouldn't believe them. He's got a fever, cough, and a runny nose, right? That's what we know. So he's still doing the job. And I need everybody to just ratchet it down for a minute, because this could get bad in a hurry, but it needs not to get bad before it gets bad, if that makes any sense.
I believe the phrase that we use among my friends and family is don't borrow trouble.
Yes. Wow. Holy cow. Is that like a North Dakota, North Plains?
It totally is, isn't it?
Or whatever it wasn't y'all. You guys don't say y'all. Dakota accent for me, whatever it was. What's that North Dakota thing?
Well, so this is literally what my grandma Pat would say. She'd say, well, now just hang on. You don't need to borrow trouble.
Right. I can't do that. Yes, that's exactly
it. She would say
it
just like that. You don't need to borrow trouble. There's plenty enough as it is.
What Molly said.
Which is true.
Totally.
There's plenty enough as it is. So obviously you, like all of us, we'll be watching all weekend long. This is a serious situation for anybody who still thinks that it's made up. Like, for one thing, it's not, right? For one thing, it's just not. And the reason it's not is because, for one thing, several other people have tested positive. And for another reason, math is real. The virus was always real.
Math is real. Yeah.
Like, fundamentally, that's what happened here. Nobody wore masks. A virus was circulating wildly in the country. And a bunch of people not wearing masks and gathering together in rooms got it. Math is real. But it's a very serious situation, and we're all hoping to treat it thusly.
It is going to be a long weekend, because there will be news coming out about this all weekend. And Asia is going to open on Sunday, and the futures markets open at 3 o'clock LA time on Sunday, and there's going to be all kinds of reaction. Everybody ought to just throttle back. That's all I'm saying.
I'm going to say, really try not to tweet.
Yeah, I think that's smart, actually.
It's not going to help. Yep. Text, don't tweet. Let that be your rule.
Fair enough.
It's going to be mine. Okay. That's for sure.
Should we explain the hats?
Let's explain the hats.
Okay. Let's explain the hats.
Because it is talking about while we're...
It is a weird thing. So Molly's got her hat on forward so you can see what it says. I've got mine on backwards because I just feel like it. Here's why. We did the video today. So we have this pumpkin spice challenge, and it just super quick, so everybody knows... $100,000, I would have drunk a pumpkin spice beer. 150, Molly would have chimed in. We got to $208,000. $208,728 American money from 3,417 donors, which is, I'm so gobsmacked. I'm so gobsmacked.
Yeah.
That is support that goes directly to Marketplace. It goes to this podcast. It goes to those people who get this podcast and the radio shows, all three of them, on the air. I said this in the video we shot when we were drinking pumpkin beer at 11:30 this morning. Molly and I have the best and easiest jobs in this shop. We get to sit here and just riff. There are people who actually have to do work to make that happen, and we and they cannot do it without you. So, thank you. That's what I got.
Yeah, I have to be honest. We're a little overwhelmed by this. Like, I think the whole team is a little overwhelmed by it because we know it's a hard time for so many people, and it is such a phenomenal outpouring. Like, nobody doubles their fundraising goal in a pandemic. We're just, we're blown away. Thank you. And everybody knows Ethan Peretz does all the work. So, like,
Ethan Peretz does all the work. We need to get him on the pod somehow. We need to get him on the video.
Save Ethan Peretz.
So, look, two quick things, and then we got to get out of here. Number one, my kids want to know what next year's challenge is, because we went from pumpkin spice latte, a logical thought, to pumpkin spice beer. So my 13-year-old daughter says, Dad, I could make some pumpkin slice slime and drop a bucket of it on your head.
What?
I'm just putting that out.
Why would you say that?
Let me be clear.
Please edit this out. You just made it happen. You just made it happen. The slime. Look at them. They're like, yes.
Anyway,
glorious.
That's that. And number two is, I forgot what number two is, but look, it's been a long week. It's going to be a long weekend. Take care of yourselves. And I think we're going to go now. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. But honestly,
take care of yourselves.
We love you. You're amazing.
We kind of do.
We really do. We are really grateful. We are really grateful to have all of you. And our production team would like to know how the drinking of the beer went.
As
expected.
It was horrible.
Let me put it this way.
It was horrible. It was so gross.
Kai had one kind of almost liked.
Yeah. I've been thinking about it, though. I think I almost liked it because of the high alcohol content. Truly, that's what it was. Oh, and Bridget says in the Slack, and then at the end, do you have to eat the slime? No, Bridget, because number one, it's never going to happen. And number two, no.
Oh, it's going to happen. Did you see, like, Tony, on behalf of Marketplace, already in the chat in the YouTube being like, quarter mil for the pumpkin slime? It's on. It's
well,
on.
Oh, the next mile post.
And we're
going
to have to eat it. It's going to have to be edible. Slime.
No.
You started it. Oh, look. Good idea. Thank you for listening. We will see you again on Monday. Not precisely we, because I will actually be out next week. Yep. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra will be here, and Kimberly Adams will be joining later in the week. It is sure to be.
I need to watch that movie. Never Ending
Story. You better hurry up. This is your weekend. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Yeah. I will.
Okay.
All right. We're going. Marketplace. Not Marketplace. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Rose Conlon. This is her last day with us, by the way. She has stepped in on short notice and been awesome. And let me just, a quick note to HR. A quick note to HR at corporate headquarters. Let's keep her around, shall we? Marissa Cabrera has been around for a week, maybe 10 days. She is officially in the hot seat next week, so any mistakes that happen, they're on her. Tony Wagner does digital production and a bunch of other stuff. Ben Heathcote, I don't know what he does. Ethan Peretz is our video intern. And also everything. Erica Phillips writes our newsletter. We used up the music. Erica Phillips does newsletters, Make Me Smart Skill on our smart speakers, all that good stuff.
Today's program was engineered by Charlton Thorpe. I'm still going. Our theme music, which is evidently too short, was composed by Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez. The senior producer is Bridget Bonner, the executive director of On Demand. I really is Sitara Nieves. I like that Charlton did his darndest to give us the hook. Bless him. Thank you for trying to save us every from day. Ourselves, Charlton. But apparently we're just not having it.
Every day I say, wait, we get paid for this?